good evening. Hope you've all had a good afternoon of rest. If you didn't, you can sleep now. Good news about the awakening and the congressman getting involved. Hopefully he can get something going. Let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter number 4, verse 12. And we're going to continue our studies in Matthew, following Christ and fishing for men. Now I'm going to read verses 12 through 20, then we're going to skip around and get a couple other people involved here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, down to verse number 20. Now when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." Verse 17. From that time, Christ began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and began followed him. Okay, everything that we do, everything that we do for men must be preceded by something, according to this passage which we just read. And that is, it must be preceded by the time we spend with God. I think we've kind of missed this. I think we've kind of got this a little bit out of order here as we look around. You notice there, it's very plain in verse 19, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Does anybody know that verse right off the top of their head? 2 Peter 3, 9. "God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's the will of God for people. That is God's will. He doesn't desire that any person at all, die without Him and spend eternity in hell. Not any person. At all. But as you notice there in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, there is a progression of this scripture, this passage that we looked at, and we're going to get into that here in a minute. And we're going to try to figure out what God has for us and desires from us. And we'll find that if we follow Christ, He will make us fishers of men. Now, God wants everyone to be saved. That's a biblical fact. We just read that there. God uses, guess what He uses to do His work in this day and age? People. He uses us. We should be thankful for that. He just just gives us the opportunity and ability just for a little bit to be used of Him for His honor and His glory. Now, every one of God's children is commanded to do something. If you would, go with me over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Brother Corwin, would you read that when you find it? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16.
1 Peter 1:16.
Yes, sir. 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. That is not a suggestion. That is a commandment of God. And that's what He desires from us. And that's what He desires that we do and live. And that's how we are to spend our time, is to be holy. Why should we be holy? Because according to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, after that, the what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses. Our power is in our living for Christ, is abiding in Christ. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. As we look at the Scripture, you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, we need to understand something, that in this day and age which we live in, that God works in and through His local New Testament churches. And so if He works in and through His local New Testament churches, then we as God's people, that's why it says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together in the manner of some people. Because He works in and through here. He's fitly framed it together. That means He's put Miss Jenny in our congregation here for a purpose. He put all of us in. And so we're fitly framed in. We should not be like a boat floating down the river with holes all in it and one of us trying to plug the holes. Because eventually we run out of stretching room. How many of y'all ever played that game years ago? It came out called Twister. Had them dots all over the place, different color dots. Well, what a mess that could be. Some of our churches look like that. All twisted up around here, twisted around here, twisted that this way, trying to do the work of the Lord, and we're missing out on the principle that God is trying to give us right here in the Scripture. Matthew chapter 4, again, at verse number 19. Let's read that verse again so we can grab a hold of this and see the principle that God's trying to give us. I think many of us, if we're not careful, we miss the follow me part. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 19 again. And then we'll read another verse that goes right along with that. Matthew 4 and 19. And He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Look over in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Mark 3 and 14. Brother Jim, will you find Mark 3 and 14? Will you read that for us, please? Mark chapter 3 and verse number 14. You see the principle there in that Scripture? He ordained 12 that they might be with Him. Be with Him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Everything we do with and for men must proceed by our time that we spend with God. Everything. That's why it's so important we as God's people, we prepare our hearts to come to church. We get ready to come to church. We don't get ready to come to church to get what we can get from church. We get ready to come to church to get ready to give. It is our job to worship God in spirit and truth. So we come to church to give of ourselves and not just to get, say, Pastor, man, I've been lonely all week. I've been heartbroken all week. That's why we have the great example in the Lord Jesus Christ in His life. You think He wasn't lonely? Think He wasn't heartbroken? Remember Judas kissed Him on the cheek? You remember the story about when Peter denied him three times, the Bible says there that then Jesus beheld and looked upon him. Listen, you ain't been alone when you've been broken. He did that for you and I. Preach, I've been just physically hungry this week. I ain't even had enough to make do. Jesus was hungry. I'm just tired. I can't come, you know, I can't be a part of what's going on. He was tired. Rest. Can you imagine praying all night? Great drops, sweat and blood, then they come and take you off and bring you to judgments that were just illegal. Just false judgments. So you're not alone in this. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He has been exactly where we are at in our heartache and our pain and our suffering. But he's also been there in the joy. As he looked down through heaven, through the portals of heaven, and looks down and he sees you gathered here tonight. It brings him joy. It brings him great joy to know that his people follow and serve him. And try to do their best to spend time with him. Now this principle that I'm talking about, it affects every aspect of our life. I cannot be the proper pastor I should be unless I first spend time with God. I cannot be the proper husband that I should be unless I first spend time with God. I cannot be the proper employee unless I first spend time with God. It expands and goes across every aspect. This here principle of spending time with God. Let me see if I can say it like this. We can go after the lost without spending time with God. But we cannot spend time with God and not go after the lost. You know, one of the biggest problems we have, Brother Harry, the biggest problem we have is that we as Christians have found ways to succeed without God. That's the biggest failures we have. I'm telling you something, you should not be afraid to fail. Because when we do it in our own power, in our own might, in our strength, when we fail, it awakens us and brings us to awareness that, hey, something's not right. But when I do things without spending time with God, when I do things without having that God time, and I succeed, Brother Jim, you know what I just said to myself? I can do this. I can make this happen. Without spiritual growth. That is the... Right now, that's where we're at in our Christendom. In our walk with Christ, we have succeeded without Christ. You know what he said? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. We found ways to parent without God. We found ways to spouse without God. We find ways to work at our job without God. Why do you think, dear friend, in the model prayer that he says, pray you this day? Because he knows we need God. We need God. And so we go out here, listen, we spin our wheels. Every last one of us, I'm going to tell you this, Brother Lee Robinson said this. Brother Lee Robinson said this. He said, in his experience and in his opinion, he said, most Christians, in the first 6 months of after they got saved, share Christ more in those 6 months than they do in the entirety of their life. That's what Dr. Lee Robinson said. Why is that? Because we just want to spend time with Jesus. And then somewhere along the way, we figure out, well, it wasn't such a bad day without God today. I made it. I mean, after all, I had arguments before and had problems before. And, you know, I turned to the Lord and He helped me. But, you know, today, I made it. I survived. And we've learned to live without. And we wonder why we're not fishing for men. And this is another thing we always do. We miss this principle and we miss the priority of this scripture because what did Jesus come for? In Luke chapter 9, verse 10. Luke 9, 10. Jesus came to do what? That was his purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the whole priority of things. You know what we as Christians do? We try to find other things to accomplish that are good things that we don't have to spend time with God with. And we stay busy doing other things and we miss the priority. There was a great example given up at the men's retreat. What was that game show that he talked about spinning the plate? Some of you men help me. You know, there was a game show. What was the name of that game show? No, it was an old one. It was anyway, there was a guy up on there, and he was doing his talent. And his whole talent was this. He had a pole, pole, a pole, and pole, and he would spin plates on these poles. And so he would start here spinning these plates. He'd spin this plate. He'd spin this plate. By the time he got to this plate, guess what was happening down at this plate? It was wobbling. So he'd run back, spin, 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 spin. Spin, 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 spin. And he was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But he was spinning plates. And that's how most of us live our Christian life. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Spin this plate, spin that plate, spin this plate, get in this ministry, get in that ministry. And we forget the priority. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's what the scriptures teach. The principle here is we must spend time with God. If we spend time with God, you know the scripture in Proverbs that says, iron sharpeneth iron? And that's talking about humans. So I spend time with Brother James. Brother James spent time. We began to rub off on each other, kind of what it means. Well, guess what? If I spend time with God, guess what? He starts rubbing off on me. Just starts rubbing off on me. Do you think that that's part of His will for our life? Sure is. After He saved us, He said, I want to predestine you to be conform to the image of my Son. How do you do that? Spend time with Him. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What a powerful principle. The Bible goes on to say in John chapter 15 that Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And if we do what with the branch, the vine? Abide. 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 We got to spend time with Him. I just don't have time for Him. Oh, dear friend. Dear friend. You've got to find time. You've got to listen. The souls of men, women, boys, and girls are counting on us being fishers of men. You know, it's an amazing thing about this pastor, Brother Jim. He took fishers of men. What do you do with fish, you fishermen? You catch these fish that are living, and you do what with them? You catch them to bring them to do what? For them to die. He gets fishermen who caught living things that put them aside in their baskets till they die. And He called them to be fishers of men, catching dead things, dead in trespasses and sins, to be made alive in Christ Jesus. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Do you notice the progression? Okay, you started. Go back to Matthew 4, verse 19 again. So we see the principle. The principle is abide with Him. The priority is what? Seeking to save that which is lost. So many people just simply go through the motions of Christianity. It's just a thing to do. Go back to Matthew chapter number 4, and look at verse number 19 again. Except this time, let's go to the end of the verse. Make you fishers of men. Make you fishers of men. So notice the progression. It says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So we start at the end. This is going to help me. It helped me when I understood this. What fishing for men. That's the end results, right? Well, that verse, when you study it out, you look at it to the end result is that God desires for us to be fishers of men. So the ultimate thing we have to understand is, if I'm not fisher of men, there's a problem. What's the problem? Because he said, what did he say there? Back up. I will make you. That's what he's saying. The end result is I'm to be a fisher of men. You back up a little bit, you swim upstream because, listen, we're swimming against the current. So you swim back upstream. I'm not fishing for men. What's the problem? Because he said I can make it. Either he lied to us, or there's another problem. So let's swim a little further upstream. What does it say? Follow me. It's like a mathematical equation almost, isn't it? If you want 1 plus 1 to equal 2, dear friend, you're going to have to add it properly. If we're going to follow principles and scriptures in the Bible, we've got to follow it properly. Listen, everybody should have a desire for people to be saved. It should be with us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us if we're saved. But if I'm not fishing for men, the problem is either he's not capable of making me a fisher of men, or I'm not following him. And we've got to come up with the answer. So if we stop in the middle and say, well, he's just not able, then is he able to save you? Is he able to keep you? Is he able to resurrect us? See, it goes on because he is able. He is well able. He's the mighty God. I mean, he is the mighty God. Listen, you remember I said a while ago, you can go after the lost without following Christ, but you cannot truly follow Christ without going after the lost. It's impossible. You cannot do it. You have to understand, dear friend, our Christian life is all encompassed and strengthened through abiding in Him. Why do you think He gave us that commandment in 1 Peter? Be ye holy, for I'm holy. Because He wants us around Him. He desires fellowship with us. But He can't have fellowship with sin. He's holy. He said, well, Pastor, I'm a failure at this thing called holiness. We all are. We live with our own means and our own power. We all are. But if we live under the restraints of the Holy Spirit of God, the yielding of the Holy Spirit of God will guide us to all truth. He will get us to the point where we are reflecting Christ like we should. So there's the principle. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's the principle. Follow me. Abide in me. That we got to get to that point that we're going to abide in me. You say, preacher, I just cannot tell people about Jesus. You're right. You cannot. But He can speak through you. The priority is the principle. That's the priority. I think we get to the point, we get all these things laid out in our lives and we're overwhelmed with activities. Overwhelmed. You know, this is the biggest reason that I found in my own life when I cannot talk to people about Jesus, or I don't find myself talking to them like I should, or sowing the seed of the Word of God. You know, the biggest problem is this: when I back up and I swim upstream, somewhere along the line, I quit following Jesus. Somewhere along the up the road here, back upstream somewhere, there was something that disconnected me from following the Lord. And then I was able to pass out, 10 tracks without spending time with Jesus. Well, I need to pray now. I was able to invite somebody to church, and they came without any time with the Lord yesterday and the day before. Wow, they came to church, so why do I need that? I mean, after all, isn't it a good thing to invite people to church? Sure, it's a good thing, but what's the better thing? Spend time with God. Because if we spend time with God, then we follow the principle. The divine results, not the natural results, the divine result of spending time with God is, I'll make you fishers of men. That's the divine result. Well, why is that? Because then we begin to take on His passions. We begin to take on His character. What's His passion? Souls. What's His character? Seeking to save that which is lost. It's all about knowing Christ. And we've got to get this down. There's this great phenomenon going on within the circles of independent Baptists. They call them soul winning marathons. They're having them all over the place. They're trying to get people to go. Up to Jacksonville was one. There was one up here in Orlando not too long ago, right up here, right up the road, downtown Orlando. Well, isn't that a good thing? Yeah, it's a great thing. But we're missing the boat. You get with them, talk with them, and you spend time with them. There is no time for Jesus. We've got to get these numbers. What's that called? I would label it something like this, the success syndrome. What should we be focused on as a church? Spiritual growth. And if we grow spiritually, we become more Christ-like. And as we become more Christ-like, He makes us fishers of men. It's not about how many you can get in the door. It's about how many comes to know Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. That's what's important. One day is my prayer, and if God allows, one day we will have every seat full. But dear friend, until we grow spiritually, as individuals, as a church family, and we as a church family spend time with God, abiding with Christ, following Christ on a daily basis, I think God's got us right where He wants us. We can't get comfortable. I'm not talking about staying in a comfort zone. I'm not talking about, we're having 120, 125 on Sunday mornings. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we got to be where God wants us spiritually. Where we're humble, that we're following Him, that we're learning more and more about Him. And as we learn more about Him, we reflect upon ourselves. You know, the Bible says judgment must first begin at the house of God. We reflect upon ourselves as individuals. Am I following this principle? Well, I don't know. I'm not fishing for men. Then He's not able to, or we're not following. One of the two is, the clue is one of the two. We know it's the first one. It's all about me and my priorities and my life there. So as we continue this and we follow through this and we learn more about Jesus, let me say it like this, and I'm going to close here. The things I know most about, the things that I know most about, those are the things that I am most eager to do what with? Talk about. The things that I am most excited about, those are the things that I am most eager to talk about. So, we've got to know more about Jesus, and we've got to be a little bit more excited about what Jesus has done for us. And that's why Dr. Lee Robinson said that in the first 6 months of someone being saved, they share more about Jesus because they're so excited that they ain't going to hell no more. They're so excited that somebody cared enough about them to share Christ with them. Well, they was excited. And we have all been there. We got to get back to, we get back to the point where we have not left our first love. What's our first love? It should be Jesus. He deserves the throne of our heart, the throne of our lives. And I'm just, we got to get to the point where we're just excited about what Jesus has done for us. And I tell you, I am thrilled with where the Lord has brought our church, where He has brought us spiritually. I'm thrilled this year. This year has been a great show of spiritual growth for our church. But there's no time to sit down. No time to sit down on God. We've got to stay busy with the Lord and the Lord's work. And that's learning more about Him. And as we learn more about Him, that heartbeat, that compassion, that desire to see people saved. We've got to have our motives right too, church. I'll be honest with you, dear friend. It would be very easy to get the big head if all of a sudden there were 700 people here. And say, oh, look what we've accomplished. That's a big danger. We better get to the point where we say, Lord, You accomplish it. Just use me a little bit. Lord, whatever You desire. So there's no big church, a little church in God's eyes. But if it all becomes about the numbers, the outward success, we have failed big time. We have failed big time. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. Lord, for helping us to see such a great principle here in the Scriptures where You have called disciples to follow You and to be fishers of men. Sometimes we just read through it so fast that we forget the greatest of all priorities is spending time with You. We wonder why, Lord, we get so tired in Your service. We wonder why we get so discouraged in God's work. It's because we're not spending time with You. We spend time with You, we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in us. We have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. What's a good thing to have the peace of God in our life? God, help us to spend time with You. And as we do spend time with You, give us that desire, Lord, to share what You've done for us with others. In Jesus' name, amen.